Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, good to worship the Lord together. Johnny's favourite part is now, mine was before. Each to our own. We're continuing a series on prayer, and I was thinking this might be the last one we're going to do for the moment, but there may be just one more to come. We'll have to see how that all works through. But we're looking at prayer. We've been looking at it for the last few weeks, and we started seeing that prayer in its very simplest form simply means us talking to God. We've been singing our prayers for the first half hour, just talking to God, telling him how great he is, how marvelous he is, and worship is just sung prayer. So it's very simple at that level, and Christians, we're called to pray, because that's how we develop our relationship with him. And of course, as we speak to him, we want to hear back as well, and we want to catch his heart, and so as we read the Bible, we can receive his ways, and we can respond in prayer back. So that's a very simple level. Then we saw Dan introduced us to the Lord's Prayer again, and we realized it wasn't just a prayer just to be prayed every so often, but that these were actually phrases for us to focus our prayers on. And actually, we experienced that last Thursday evening as we came to pray, and we just prayed through aspects of the Lord's Prayer together. We looked at fasting, as we were having a fasting day, and, well, you'll have to get the tape on that one, tape, podcast, wherever we're up to now. And so today, I just want to look at five keys to effective prayer. And, you know, every time I talk about prayer or fasting, I just think, who am I to talk about prayer or fasting? You know, I'm not one of these prayer champions. I'm one of these guys, even though I'm a pastor, that struggles to some extent and some level to really pray and to effectively pray. But I know it's so important. And I just want to encourage us with wherever we are, whether we're a prayer guru or whether we're just a novice, and I'm down in the novice area, I just want to encourage us to be intentional and to develop our prayer life, because prayer changes things. Prayer changes things, and we need to learn to pray and to pray effectively. And many of us will have prayed prayers and we thought, this has not been answered. You know, I've asked God for this, I've asked God for that. Well, I just want to give you five reasons why some of those prayers may not have been answered, and there's probably another load as well. So we're going to look at some of the things which make prayer effective, and of course the opposite is that prevents them from being so effective. So my first point is, watch how you live. If you want your prayers to be answered, we need to watch how we live. This is what Isaiah says. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you'll build for me? God's saying this through the prophet Isaiah. Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things, and so they come into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Just a few scriptures from the New Testament. 1 Peter. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Another one from Peter. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And lastly, James says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. We need to live right in order for God to hear our prayers. Did you know that? Even with our beautiful grace message, and I make no apologies for grace, but unless our lifestyle begins to reflect the calling of God on our lives, we will find that our prayers are ineffective, or certainly less effective. The Bible teaches that these are the attributes which God listens to more than others. includes giving to the poor, includes being humble, even contrite or broken in spirit. Those who obey his word, those who tremble, he loves obedience. And those who are righteous, as well as those who pray. So there are conditions. His eyes are on the righteous and his ears attentive to their prayers. And that's New Testament teaching. You see, we keep coming back to this theme, don't we? But becoming a Christian requires a change of lifestyle. It's the evidence of believing faith. In the past, we may have been proud and arrogant, and God's not impressed. In fact, we read that he's against the proud and the arrogant. But we've also read, but he looks with favor on those who are humble and contrite. He's looking for those who know that they need God to live rather than being able to live without him. Those who tremble at his word, those who read his word and they want to obey it. They want that to be part of their life. They want to live right with him. So when we pray and we don't get answers to our prayers, firstly, maybe we should look inside. Are we living right with God? Is our relationship with our spouse good? What's that got to do with prayer, you might think? Well, Peter says, if husbands aren't treating their wives well, that will hinder their prayers. You didn't realize, did you? Good marriage relationships are part of the effectiveness of our praying. Ah, yes. Well, we all have struggles, you might say. But me and God are good. You know, we all struggle in marriage from time to time. But actually, we've got to deal with those issues and struggles. One reason, so that God hears our prayers. We saw last week from Isaiah, as we were looking at fasting, the word came, you cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. In other words, God was saying, look, you've added fasting to your lifestyle, but your lifestyle's corrupt. You're still mistreating your workers. There's disunity. You're pointing the finger. You're being critical. There's all of this sort of stuff. Don't expect fasting just to make a big difference. Change your life. Change your life. And then fast, and then pray, and I'll hear your voice. I'm talking here about deliberate sinfulness. I'm not talking here about sins that we are unaware of in our lives, sins which have happened. I'm talking about us deliberately going against God. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, if some of us, we can just be so arrogant, so proud. We might think it's okay if I get drunk, or it's okay if I fall out with my brother and sister. You know, I don't need to reconcile. It's okay, I can remain offended. I can treat my wife or my husband badly. It doesn't really matter. But it isn't okay. It isn't okay. God's saying, sort your life out. Sort your life out. Live for me. And then I'll listen to your prayers. So do I have to be perfect? Of course not. But we have to be humble. And we have to be prepared to admit our wrongs. Some people find it so difficult to admit their wrongs. We just need to say, sorry, God. Sorry, I receive your forgiveness and move on. Because there's always grace to cover sin in our lives. So we need to cry out for strength to change, for grace to change, so that we can live in good relationship with him, knowing that that is one of the keys to effective prayer. Number two, pray according to God's will. This is Jesus' prayer, how he taught us. He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer is a mystery. I don't understand it. You know, God is totally sovereign. We were reminded of that earlier on today. He's totally powerful. Nothing can stand before him. And yet he asks us to pray his will into being. And when we are praying his will into being, those prayers get answered. But they won't get answered if we're praying stuff which is contrary to his will. Jesus himself, when he was praying in Gethsemane, he was praying, Lord, take this, make it possible for me not to go through with this death and the crucifixion. But nevertheless, if that's your will, I submit to your will. If that's what you want, then don't take this cup from me. And he knew deep down that's what God wanted. That was the price to be paid for our salvation. And he went through with it. So we need to say, Lord, we need to pray according to his will. Here's an interesting verse, comes from John. Jesus says this, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." And you might say, well, this seems to contradict what you've just said. Now Jesus is saying, whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. But you've just said you need to be praying according to the will of God. But we need to look at the context of this verse. You see, it comes in the context of abiding with Jesus, of spending time with him, of intimacy. And the more we spend time with him, the more we catch his heart, the more we will know his ways. And we'll be finding then that whatever our prayers are, they will be coming out of that desire to see him glorified, that desire that his will be done here on earth. I don't think Jesus is saying for one moment, you can just ask for whatever you want and you'll get it. If you want a gold Rolls Royce next week, I'll give it you. He's not saying that at all. But he's saying, as you spend time with me, you'll catch my heart. And out of that intimacy in that relationship, whatever you ask is going to happen. Whatever you ask for is going to happen. How do we know his will? Best way to catch his heart and his ways revealed in his book, in the Bible. So we know, for example, we've just read it here, being fruitful is part of his will. We can pray that. We can pray for fruit. We know we'll never go against his will in that. Fruitfulness is part of God's desire and heart. Praying for workers. Another one of the prayers in the Bible. Jesus says, pray for workers. The harvest is plentiful. Pray for workers. We need to pray for boldness to go, wisdom to make disciples. Pray for love for our spouses. Pray for our families, honoring our leaders, praying for salvation for the lost. All of these things are part of God's will, and we can pray with confidence for those things. How do I know? Because they're in the book. And Jesus said, this is what you pray. Jesus said, this is my heart. And as we spend time with him, we catch more of his heart. And prophecies and promises which God gives us outside of the Bible, we hold on to too. Because they're all yes and amen in Christ. And so where you've had a word spoken over you from God, you can pray that into being. You can be saying, Lord, bring this about. I know it's your will. I know it's your intention. Because God's still speaking today. And as we hear him and respond to him, then we can pray with confidence that this is what he wants to accomplish. Number three, pray with faith. We have to pray with faith. I love some of the songs we sung today, just talking about our God is greater. Yahweh, the heavens love your name and they're filled with your name. There's no name higher. There's no one more powerful. There's no one with more authority. That's how and why we can come in faith. We have to pray in faith. Don't pray disbelieving. Don't pray hoping. Pray in faith. We have to believe. Have you noticed God responds to faith more than he does need? There's many needs in the world today. But the answer to those needs being met is faith. And that connects with God. And when he hears our prayer in faith, he moves. Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Isn't that an amazing statement? If you believe. We need faith in God. We need faith that he hears, that he's powerful, that he can do the impossible. The faith that Dan was talking about. Even at that time, not seeing Joel, his little boy, fully recovered yet. But it starts with that absolute confidence and faith. God's powerful, God's good, God's loving, God's kind, and God wants the best for us. That's the Father that we come to, and that's why we can come and pray in faith. But we also need to pray in faith believing. Prayer will change things. As I pray, change will take place. Some of us were out on the streets again yesterday, and 2 weeks ago I said, what an exciting time. This time, my experience, I wasn't there for all of the feedback, so I don't know. But it was tough. It wasn't so easy. But as I go and we pray prayers and we prayed for maybe half a dozen people, and that actually is pretty good in itself, isn't it? But I'm believing that those prayers are heard and are going to bring change, because people said yes, please pray. And we pray blessing on their lives and on their family. I believe those prayers are powerful. And we go in twos, and where two agree, it shall be done. And so we're praying, believing for change. Didn't see instant conversions, but who knows? Who knows? That's in God's hand. But we pray and we believe in faith. So we expect healings when we pray. We expect miracles when we pray. We were at this wedding yesterday, and it was interesting. James and Jody, probably not all that well known, but lovely couple. And Jackie and I have got to really know them well for the last couple of months or so, going through the pre-marriage course. But Wednesday, we had our rehearsal here. Everything was fine. Evidently, Thursday and Friday, Jody was in bed, ill, and just not able to move and do stuff. I had no idea she turned up at the wedding yesterday looking beautiful and, like bride's look. And she looked absolutely wonderful. Not me realizing that she was struggling with breathing, and she was struggling with sore throat, just in a bad way. We get to the reception. Where's Jody? She's in bed. And James comes to us and says, "Do you think you could pray? Because, you know, we can't have dinner without my bride here. Can't have the speeches without my bride. Can't do my first dance without my bride, you know." So Jackie and I, we just knocked on her door tentatively, and her mum was looking after her, and we prayed. And do you know what? Half an hour later, she was down. And she was having dinner with us. And she was all happy again. And Jackie admitted, I didn't realize this, she admitted this morning, "Well, I didn't have a lot of faith." Well, I had more faith in Jackie as I let Jackie pray. I thought, that's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. You know, I'm expecting some results from this one. And God heard. Praise God. Praise God. And actually, what a testimony too. And James was bigging this up more than I would have been wanting to big it up, you know, in his speeches and stuff, you know. All you non-Christians, you know, just see what God does. They just went up to pray, and I wish it was as simple as that all the time. But where there's faith, God answers. Can't fail. It can't fail. Here's another verse from James. "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the person well." Sick person well. "The Lord will raise them up." There's something about faith which is so, so important. You know, we've been praying for nearly 20 years as pastors in Reading. And sometimes I think it's easy just to turn up and pray. But there's other times when you think, "God, we're praying in faith today. We're believing for change in Reading. We're believing that you're going to come and move." You know, I look back and I think, what has happened over nearly 20 years? And then you begin to see there's amazing things which have happened. And we're still believing God for more. We're still believing God for revival. We're still believing the gospel is going to impact our town. And it's not just, please, Lord, will you touch? No, it's Lord, move. Use your church. You know, there's Catholics there, there's Methodists there, there's our sort of churches there, there's all sorts of churches, leaders just gathering together to pray because we're asking God to move in this town. So we need faith. Just before I go on, Paul talks in Ephesians about God doing more than you can even imagine. Now, I don't know about your imagination. I've got a pretty good imagination. Can you imagine this fall? Can you imagine when those curtains come down that you look up there and there'll be twice as many people up there as down here? I can imagine that. I can imagine that. Well, he's going to do more than that because I can imagine that. So he's going to do more than that. He's going to do more than we can even imagine. We'll have to move buildings, or we could double up or triple up or have four or five services over the weekend. Yeah, but I can imagine that, so it'll have to be more than that, yeah. So Paul talks about imagining. Pastor Caesar talks about visualizing. And it's the same sort of principle. Because if you can see, you have. If you can see, you have. I've got that already. I've got that. I don't know when, but I've got that. This is going to be full. The Father wants a full house. So when it comes to healing, when it comes to finances, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to wanting a spouse, husband or a wife, there's something important about seeing, visualizing, imagining, the Bible says. And then when you can see that, you can claim it in faith. The Bible talks about faith comes by hearing. Hearing the word of God. And that brings faith to see that come about. So I want to encourage us. We need to visualize. Where's Jackie? I thought that was Jackie Curtis. That's not. But I mean, Jack, we're expanding with children down below. We've got to see, Lord, what's your answer? What's your answer? We need to pray so that we can see and then we go forward in faith, believing God's going to provide in whatever way that needs. So I want to encourage you. If you're asking for a spouse, pray and begin to imagine walking down this aisle. Begin to see it. Begin to see it coming about. Let faith come in your hearts and then you claim it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay? Amen. So faith. Faith's really, really important. When we looked at this building, is Paul here? Paul Shepherd? Maybe not. When we looked at this building, he and I were looking from the top, and this was just after the previous owner who bought the building had started to renovate it. It was an absolute state. It was worse than when we first saw it. The ceilings were all down. There were wires everywhere. There was rubbish. There was, you know, they'd started to pull it to pieces. And Paul said, do you really want this building? I said, Paul, I'm not seeing this. I'm not seeing the rubble and all of this. I'm seeing this place being filled with people worshiping God. That's what I'm looking at. And I'm not like moving in this all the time, unfortunately. But that's what I said to Paul. And Paul, bless him, sort of stood back. Yeah, well, yeah, okay. He could just see the rubble. But I was looking beyond that. But Paul was so instrumental in helping us in get this building and the negotiations and stuff, because something that rubbed from me to him, and he stood side by side so that we could make this a reality. But it starts with faith. It starts with seeing and believing. Oh, I need to move on. Number four, persevering prayer. Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Or more literally, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Isn't prayer a mystery? Why can't we just ask? I don't know. Sometimes one ask, and Jody's fine. Sometimes it takes a lot more asks before Jody's fine. I don't understand. It's a mystery. But Jesus says, keep on. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. Keep on seeking. And you will get the answer. Faith again. Faith again. It's just because it's not instant, we don't just give up. Just because it's not instant doesn't automatically mean it's not God's will. We need to persevere in prayer. We're used to instant society, aren't we? I mean, even 3G's not good enough now. We have to have 4G because we need to speed it up a little bit. You know, we get news across the world just in moments. We've got fast food. We've got instant coffee. We expect instant results from a football manager. You know, new manager in, we expect instant results. But the kingdom isn't like that. It's not an instant kingdom. One touch changes everything. But that touch doesn't always come in the instant. But when it does come, change comes too. So I want to encourage us. We keep praying. We keep praying. We keep asking. Isaiah says, God speaking through Isaiah again, don't give me any rest until the praise fills Jerusalem. Don't give me any rest. In other words, keep praying. Keep asking until that time happens. Keep knocking on my door, God says. I don't know why. But he's looking for perseverance. He's looking for that in our lives too. Paul says in Romans, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. We keep on. And the promise you will receive. I didn't say that. Jesus said it. The promise you will find. The promise the door will be open to you. So keep faith alive. Keep expecting, keep believing, and keep praying. You see, we need to remember we're in a spiritual battle. You see, prayer is spiritual. There's a story in Daniel, and it's a story of Daniel praying a prayer. And do you know what? That prayer was answered immediately. That prayer was just answered. But it was 21 days before the answer materialized. And Daniel had a revelation and he began to understand what was happening here. Because actually what was happening, the prayer was heard immediately, but there was spiritual warfare. And Daniel explains, you know, the answer was coming, but it's taken 21 days because there were forces opposed to the will of God being established. You can read it in in Daniel chapter 10. But he said as soon as that battle was won, the prayer was answered and it became released. We need to persevere. We need to persevere. We need to pray. We need to stand against the enemy. Again, totally, totally confusing. Nothing thwarts the purposes of God. And yet, persevering prayer brings about the answers. Moving on, lastly, God loves passionate prayer. James 5 says this, Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. And he goes on, James, not that one there. The earnest prayer, we've read it already, of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. God loves passion. In fact, when the church has lost its passion, Jesus says, repent. If you've lost your zeal, repent. If you've lost your first love, turn around. Something's not in the right place. He hates lukewarmness, but he loves earnest, passionate prayer. Time and again, you can read it in the Bible, many times, they called out earnestly. They pleaded. They were desperate. And in their desperation, God heard. And it's the same with prayer. Prayer which touches the heart of God is passionate prayer, heartfelt prayer. It's not always loud, it's not necessarily emotional, but it is felt. And Elijah was like you and me, and he prayed and he persevered in prayer. And it wasn't, oh Lord, the land is a little bit dry today. Please send some rain. No. It wasn't like that at all. He knew what the will of God was. And it says he put his head between his knees, and it was, God, send the rain, God. Send the rain. Send the rain. This land needs rain. Send your rain, Lord. Sent to his servant. Go and check. Rain should be coming. Nothing there, sir. Nothing there yet. No clouds, no rain. Oh, God. God, I know this is your will. Send the rain. We need the rain. That's your plan. That's your purpose. He was passionate. He was passionate. 7 times got his head between his knees and he prayed with passion. And on the 7th time, the servant came and said, there's a little cloud, sir. That's it, he said. That's it. It's coming. It's coming. He knew. The heart of God was moved by passionate, earnest prayer. And James says, Elijah's just the same as us. So that's what we do, isn't it, all the time? You know, we're on our knees, we're crying out to God. No, but we ought to be, because we're human beings too. And God's God, and he's looking for that desperation, that heart that's calling out for God to move. Not just politely, but calling out with a real desperation. James and I have different views when it comes to football. I like Manchester United. And do you know what? If Manchester United score, I'm very, very happy. If they lose, I'm very sad. James is impartial. He doesn't care if they score. He doesn't care if they lose. What's the difference? He's not got the same heart for me. I've supported that team for 50 years, and I just want to see them do well. James isn't interested in Manchester United. He's got another team that he thinks ought to be doing better. He's not got the same heart. We can both be watching the same football team, and I'm up there like this, and James is, yeah, 1-0, yeah. You know, no passion, no heart. The difference is our heart. My heart has been touched by that team. Now, that's totally futile and irrelevant compared to the sort of things we're talking about here. But your hearts and our hearts need to be touched by God's heart. So that we're not just sitting here, yeah, that's fine, that's good, yeah, another soul saved, yeah. Well, thank you, Lord. Whoa, Lord, another soul saved. Praise God, hallelujah. There's rejoicing in heaven. I'm going to rejoice too because our hearts are touched. with the same things that touch God's heart. Isn't that where we should be? And so when it comes to souls, we know he wants us lost to be saved. It's not just prayer, it's prayer and action. We need to invite them, we need to speak to them and everything else. But when we're putting in all those things, then we're praying, oh God, God, just come and touch. Save my family, save my children, save my parents, save my brothers and sisters. And we need to be desperate. We need to be desperate because God hears earnest, passionate prayer. So I've gone off my track here. We need to catch his heart. Prayer with no feeling doesn't touch the heart of God like prayer with feeling. It'll just simply be nice, polite words. But James says, the earnest prayer of a righteous man, good living with passion, produces results. So here we go. In summary, five keys here to effective prayer. See, we're talking about prayer because we need to learn to grow. I've run out of time. I wanted to read about when Jesus came to the temple and he saw the busyness, he saw the market, he saw the money changers, he saw them buying stuff for sacrifices and everything else. When Jesus came to the temple, he came and he said, you've turned this into a den of robbers, but this should be a house of prayer. And I was thinking, if Jesus was to come to the pavilion, what would he see? Would he see a house of prayer? Would he? And I'm not talking buildings, because a house in the old is us in the new. The house of God is the people of God. So if he comes to us, does he just see us rushing around here and there? Does he just see busyness? Does he just see activity? Does he just see all sorts of your family, work, social, this, that, and the other? Or does he see there's a house of prayer that meets at the pavilion? There's a house of prayer. Everything they do, they pray through. It's undergirded with prayer. There's prayer in their homes. There's prayer in their cells. There's prayer in their services. There's prayer. It's a house of prayer. That's what God's looking for, a house of prayer for the nations. On the International Sunday, we'll be praying for the nations. And Maria's got some plans along those lines. It's absolutely great and fantastic. But that's what he's looking for, a house that prays. But we need to pray effectively. And so just as to summarize what I said already. Number one, we need to live right before God. Number two, we need to pray according to God's will. Number three, we need to mix faith with our prayers. Number four, we need to persevere. Keep on praying. Once we know his will, keep praying, and we will receive. And number five, we need to pray with passion. Amen.